Randy Osborne is joining us this morning. He's the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, and also we're joined by program director Tina Carpenter. Tina, first off, good to see you.
Thank you.
Was at the hospital the other day, and drove out by the Boys and Girls Club. And my girlfriend was with me, and the first thing I said was, "Man, this place looks good. Look how it's fat. Look how it's grown."
It's looking good inside too. It's an old building, but we really managed to keep up with thousands and thousands of kid hours in that building.
Nice facility, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
And it wasn't always.
No, it was scheduled for demolition when we acquired it back in 2004.
You know, this is one of the stories I like, because there's a story arc here that it's so easy to forget. With these shootings this past weekend,
right.
People go, "Oh, you know, my town, look what's happening." You know, a guy shot sleeping in his bed, another in an apartment. And you look at these stories, you have to realize the Boys and Girls Club had a similar impetus.
That's right. Back in 97, there was an after-school event of two high school kids involved in a fatal shooting. Actually, there were three. And people in the community woke up from that and looked around and asked themselves, where do kids go after school? If they're only going out in the streets, those are the kind of things that can happen. And they decided to do something about it. And efforts to form a teen center evolved and became the Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale, and we chartered in 2004.
A lot of times when a community does this, or the state or the government, it's a long list of platitudes, an endless long line of waiting, and questionable outcomes. And see, here's one of the things, because you work in a medium, we'll call it, of people, that it's hard to say, well, that person would have been convicted of armed robbery had we not been here. Mm-hmm. We don't have that privilege.
Right.
But we know we're working in a really important area, and you don't know the outcome of each individual person, so you have to look at it as a body of work. And in your particular case, one of the ways you see the success is the continuing climb of attendance.
That's right. And it's growing just astronomically in the last 2 years, really thanks to Tina's work to acquire a federal grant and really build on that grant. We went from one club site. In 2 years ago, we had a little under 600 members. And with the acquisition of 21st Century Grant, we now operate three sites, with another one about to open at Lewis School, and our membership is right up around 1,100 kids right now.
Well, let's pull Tina into this part, because you are handling this. By the way, it's federally funded. What is the 21st Century Learning Center grant used for? How is it used? What are you doing with that?
It's an after-school it's to fund after-school programming to build academics. And reinforce academics, get the kids ready for each day with enhancing their core subjects, but also providing mentoring, which is a huge component of it. We know that if we can't meet the basic needs of the youth, that they're not going to be able to learn. And so by building relationships, our staff are extremely well-trained on how to build relationships with youth, how to find out what's stopping them from the learning process, whether it's because they're hungry or because something's happened and they need someone to talk to.
They're distracted.
Distracted.
Because things are happening not well at home or
right.
At school, or bullying, or a long list of other things. Mom and dad won't stop playing video games long enough for me to get a night's sleep. And I mean, when I talk to parents and educators, the list is almost endless.
Yeah. That's right.
You always think, I think we have a tendency to all internalize this, so we use examples from each of our lives, mm-hmm. and you realize that human beings are really a diverse group.
Yes.
And when it comes to problems, we have mm-hmm. them, you know, and we have more. I mean, we've seen fractured families, a grandmother or grandfather caring for a child, or maybe mm-hmm. a single grandparent, and, you know, maybe just a dad, or maybe just a mom.
Right.
And you think, well, that we can handle that, and you realize there's a myriad of these.
Mm-hmm. We've got over 70% of our kids are from some sort of alternative family home other than two parents.
Right. Well, and not to be surprised, I think, by that figure, right. When you look at divorce rates and all the other things that go on in modern life. You know, there's a couple of things I want to talk to that came up in my mind, Tina, while you were talking, is one, your staff. How many people and how are they trained?
How many people? Right now, I think we have 26 program staff.
Right.
And I do probably 99% of the training. And we train from, you know, the logistics, policies, and procedures to how do you interact with youth? What is, where are they at developmentally? And then how do you, how is it, you know, you can't support a middle school youth this, the same way
you cannot, a
kindergartner. So it's important for them to know developmentally where they at and how do you best support them.
Yeah, so that you can sync up with them and with their level and then lift them up.
Right.
And I'm going to throw in that Tina is a master trainer and educator. This
my first thought is I want a training session because I want to know how to talk to a junior high kid.
Okay.
But the number
I apparently
of people,
don't know how, yo. So
the number of people that do come in and support, not only with 26 staff, it's growing with the addition of the Lewis School site, but this semester alone we have over 20 interns from SIU. So we're placing
tapping into that SIU research.
Students that need real life experience in a setting where they really get that.
Yeah. So the other item is these mentors. This is something that Randy, you and I've talked about because, fortunately, has come with my time on the planet where I realized at the time I was clueless. But I realized at the time that a whole lot of people played a role in making me who I am today. And not all of it's good. So I have to realize that I had some bad associations as well. I think that if we're honest with ourselves, we all have to do that. But I look back on my life and I am so thankful for a number of people. And it was a long list that took a little time out of their day on a regular basis to make sure I was moving in the right direction. And I'm so thankful for those people now. And that's why I think so much of these mentors that take time because the people, they knew me or it was a business association at work because I started my job very young, that those people cared enough because they knew me. It's a little harder when it's a perfect stranger and I'm going to go out and help somebody. That, to me, it's kind of daunting, and I'm really proud of people who can make that commitment.
And they don't remain perfect strangers long. They come in on a regular basis, and that relationship forms quickly. The kids are just hungry for that kind of input, that kind of relationship, somebody to look up to, and
this
they're out
word.
There. They're out there in the streets, too, somebody to look up to.
But this hungry word is the one, because a lot of times— kids, if you, when we're adults, we talk to them, they don't respond the way we do, their handshakes, eye contacts, maybe that hungry part is the operative word there because they almost all are universally hungry for this, but some have been burned so many times by extending themselves, they won't do that anymore, and you've got to find a way to train and to bridge that with a number of people. Tina, I don't envy you the position, but I'm proud of the work. You know what I mean? Dirty job, great outcome. Kind of like being a farmer.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of people that come in and think that they're ready to work with youth, and then they learn through the process that it's really different.
And frustrating sometimes.
It's, you know, I mean, and but again, getting to know, and I'm constantly reinforcing that, don't give up on a child. And something that I say all the time, all my staff know that this is, I mean, I've stole it from somebody, I don't remember who, but be in their corner, but on their case.
Right.
You know, and you don't know the impact you have, and it might be you may
they don't
never
know either
they
for
don't.
Decades.
Right.
I literally didn't realize that until decades later when I had the sense to look back on my life a little bit and see the trajectory and how people had shaped that trajectory over time. Mom,
one of the
dad,
things too,
grandma, granddad, but people without those people like that, that faith, that person's looking after my best interest, you're leery of everybody and anybody that says anything to you.
We know we're going to have turnover in the interns and some and staff a little less, but the turnover in children is a big factor too. Carbondale has a lot of mobility. There are a lot of people moving from one town, one state to another, St. Louis, Chicago. So retaining kids that are from Carbondale, keeping them coming, especially as they enter their teen years, is so critical.
Yeah, when they discover girls and marijuana.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time in cars, right? Difficult time.
Right.
But see, Randy, here's the thing. You've been doing this since 1997. So by now, you have seen a different type of success. The people who were in your program in 97 who have boomeranged back and are here to help again because of what you've done for them. That to me, when you recycle that person, that's what I call it in my mind, recycling them. I don't mean that in a diminutive way in any way. That is a sign of success in my mind.
And I think our Youth of the Year, Ja'Kia Douglas, is one of the best examples. She started coming as a youngster, wasn't too easy to get along with sometimes. She brought her troubles. And now at 15, 16 years old, the last 2 years she's been Youth of the Year, this young woman is unrecognizable to what she brought to the club as a child. She has a future. She has ability. She's a leader. She's pulling kids in under her wing to extend on that influence that we've been talking about.
What are we trying to accomplish? I know that sounds stupid and blunt, but what are we trying to accomplish? Because you and I, Randy, when we first started a shooting in 1997, all right, a lofty, admirable goal and healthy for the community. But it's a little richer than that, too.
It's a lot richer, yeah.
I mean, we want, first and foremost, provide a safe place for them to be after school.
Right.
But we want to help them, propel them towards their future, you know, setting goals. And not just waiting till they're in middle school or high school, but even those kindergartners, those second and third graders, and getting them to start thinking about the importance of education.
How to learn.
How to enjoy learning.
Yeah. What a great one that one is.
And that's the thing. I mean, I really profess that we need to put the fun in learning, and the kids don't realize that we're asking them to do math and reading when they're doing a scavenger hunt with math equations.
Well, I was at the Science Center talking to the manager there, and I'm looking at all the stuff they do there, and what's the most popular part? He says the fake grocery store all the way in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they learn math. And they see their mom and dad do it, so they re-emulate the way they go through the cash register, and then they learn what it's like. Mm-hmm. And they've got their little shore stuff and how much it costs and a little cash register. And he says one of the most popular places in the building. I would have never guessed it. I would have guessed sand, mud, and flight simulators.
Well, in the Boys and Girls Club, we have a reptile zoo, which is an incredible feature, thanks to Tina and her family.
Great opportunity to learn.
Snakes, turtles, tortoises, lizards, and they're all safe and... Every day they get a lot of attention. They're always looking in those cages.
Yeah, and you get the opportunity for learning how to care for something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I'm having an interview with Marvin Hamlisch. Pretty good time for me. And we talked about why music was important. And he says, this is the thing. Every kid needs to know they're able to do something well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what I was thinking about when you talked about the reptiles. Taking care of my pet, look how good it looks, look how well it's alive, look how it's a hamster, it's a snake, whatever. That every kid needs to know they can. And you know what? Ever since he said that, I've understood that because I remember finding out I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Boys and Girls Club's about. Yes, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Our curriculum is so broad, and it's not a classroom. It's very experiential. It's very social-based, too. Kids are learning to get along, to communicate. And they'll discover things in the club that they never get exposed to in the classroom. And that's one of the benefits. If people are starting to talk about year-round school, they need to look at an option like this, a model like this, to say, okay, summer's important, fun is important, socialization is important. What could we do differently than what the school offers to really enrich
nine traditional learning?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's always a way. It's kind of interesting. If you give somebody a job, they start learning new skills to be able to do the job. It really doesn't matter what the job is.
And that's really what the 21st Century program brings. It's a year-round program after school, but also a summer component. Tina's, again, designed a really great approach to this, and we're looking forward to opening this new site over at Lewis School. So we have people from the Boys and Girls Club working at Lewis, also at Carbondale Middle School and at Rebound Alternative High School.
The Carbondale Boys and Girls Club, as of 2015, had 1,088 students. That is a lot of people.
Yes.
That is a lot of organization. That is a lot of caring. And I've come into contact with a new phrase over the last year, compassion fatigue. Know anything about that, Tina?
Yes. but... I don't know. When you're doing something that you love,
it's about the feedback.
It overcomes
that compassion fatigue.
Yes, it is.
Because extending yourself. I've got a number of friends that work in the type of industry, sometimes with developmentally disabled, which, you know, a lifespan in that career sometimes of like 3 years.
Right.
Because it's so hard on you, especially if you have empathy, to put yourself there, put yourself out there. It can be very wearing. But you found a way, Tina, apparently, to balance this because of the nature of the feedback you've gotten.
To me, that's
one of the things. But I also know that sometimes giving, you can't count on getting that thing back. You have to understand that you're throwing things in there and hoping it'll graft onto that person and they'll move forward without always necessarily getting a pat on the back. It's one of the lessons I think we need to teach more often. You do things because it's the right thing to do, not because there's a payoff.
Right.
Right.
But I can see this as a person who puts themselves out there like this every day like you do, and understanding what happens if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is fear. You got 10,000, you got 1,088 young people that are kind of counting on you, and I would imagine that that's kind of daunting.
It is daunting, but when I see, you know, with interns or new staff, you know, those first couple of months, they're like, oh my goodness, what have I done? But, you know, we're mid-semester now, and when I see, I really see, like, with the interns, like, all of a sudden they get it, and their confidence level is up, and, you know, it's not, I really take pride in, it's not just for the kids. I have to support the staff and foster that family atmosphere so that they feel that they can do the job with the youth. And it's really a big cycle. And that also then provides a role model for the kids on what a family looks like and what caring looks like.
Yeah, I mean, getting it, I just wonder what it is. I know what it was to me, and that was it was the moment that I realized it's not about me.
Right.
And never was, and I was stupid the entire time I thought it was. Some days it is when you're wedding day. But, I mean, right? Every other day it's really about everybody else. And once that light goes on, boy, the world becomes a lot simpler place on how do you define what you want to do with it.
And there are some little moments, and they happen every day for so many people, that you just know that you touched somebody's life. You may not see how that's going to blossom, but you planted a seed that's really going to change something, and it changes you.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, knowing that you contribute. In my office,
I think it means you get validated in the process, that you're not a bad person, because sometimes we don't think so well of ourselves, and you realize, oh, well, maybe I'm not such a jerk after all.
Look. I think with all the work we're trying to do, sometimes it's hard to know that, boy, it's just, how could it possibly work with all the forces that sort of are aligned
against you,
against that outcome?
And you know what? I'm glad you thought that, because brought that up, because television, the internet, bad people who want to get young people to do bad things. I mean, when you realize that what you're up against, it's an entire multi-million-dollar media culture that just spews the worst horse hockey in the world. And kids are sponges, man. They're ready for it. They've got no skin. They've got no defense mechanism for this. And then, of course, the entire monkey see, monkey do mentality of human beings. You know, I mean, I meet these people, and what are you going to do when you grow up? Well, I'm going to be a reality star TV star.
Basketball player.
I'm going to be an NFL player. You know, people are just going to follow me with crews because I'm that interesting. Oh, gee whiz, I got news for you, Chief. That doesn't work out that way. But who wants to break that news?
Right.
So, good luck. I mean, when you realize, when you brought that up, I was thinking, man, there's so much bad stuff out there that we, corrective measures.
We ask people all the time, and if they can't come here, where are they going to be after school? I mean, there are a few programs, and I'm going to say very few out there, that are affordable for everybody. And we're dedicated to making sure that every child that wants to be a club member that's of 6 to 18 years old will join. We never turn a child away. It does take investment. It takes community, people who support the club, invest in the kids, volunteer, but also contribute. And we ask for people to consider that.
I tell you, there's two items I want to talk about because we're out of time. I've already gone longer than I should have. And there's two items that I want to talk about before we go. Is one, this new grant you have received from the National Endowment of Arts in National Arts in Washington. What's that going to do for the Carbondale Arts, Community Arts, and what you're doing at Boys and Girls Club?
That was a great opportunity for the Boys and Girls Club to receive arts support and pass that money through to local artists, who are always asked to donate their talent, donate their time. We received a $10,000 grant. $8,000 of that, more than that, $8,800, is being passed through to artists to run community building, local workshops open to anybody. It's not just Boys and Girls Clubs, kids, and develop the theme of belonging and the sense of identity. It was a great way to partner with Carbondale Community Arts, the organization that we've had opportunities in the past, but nothing of this scope. So we don't know how it's going to all wind up, but I think we're doing a great job over a course of 7 different projects, culminating in a final art event on April 30th at the Boys and Girls Club.
And there's another item coming up next Tuesday. The Rotary Club, Breakfast Club, is going to be doing a benefit at S&B Burgers. It's called the Pay It Forward Day, and this also benefits the Boys and Girls Club?
No, it benefits Rotary Club of Carbondale Breakfast, who is a supporter of our program.
I understand. Supports the group that supports you and makes sure you have funding for this 1,088 members
and
from 2015. And growing. I noticed that.
Yeah.
And 1,088 kids. That's a heck of a group right there. That from the 1997 rusty start to this.
Yeah. Well, those are our members, and success we also stories. Reach another 1,000 or more in our outreach. So we're out there.
Randy, it's good to have you in the studio again.
Tom.
It's good to have you in the studio and not be limited to 3 minutes, too,
yeah.
as you and I often are. And Tina, it's always good to meet you, too. Tina's the program director at the Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale. Randy Osborne, the executive director, is supposed to have you in this morning so we have a little more time to loiter on top of the target. Because if we don't do something about some of the things that our youth are subjected to and keep them, whether it's heroin, whether it's violence, whether it's just not having a great educational future, can be on the we live on the thinnest margins sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how many times I've heard somebody in the studio saying our high school graduates are not prepared to go to college.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking about with your program and working on some of these remedial items,
mm-hmm.
reading, writing, arithmetic. So we can get going again. So congratulations, all right?
Thank
it's good to have you in the studio. Randy, it's always good to see you, pal. 844.